and then there were three.
Three
carriers. Sprint T-Mobile. The Sprint yes. T-Mobile thing got approved this morning.
Sprint T-Mobile thing. Is that the new name of the network?
They should call it Sprinty.
Sprinty. Or Sprint. T-Sprint.
Or T-Mobiles. Put an S on the end.
T-Int. Rint.
I'm sure. I'm curious to see how this is going to shake out because obviously they have different, somewhat different carrier technologies and bands. And
yeah. I actually spent time this weekend looking at Mint Mobile again. I looked at my monthly bill from Google Fi, which is actually kind of expensive, frankly. I mean, not compared to like AT&T or whatever, but you know, you pay for the niceties of Google Fi, which I really like. There is a little bit of a cost to it, and I basically figured out if I did like 12 months upfront at T-Mobile Mint, which is T-Mobile really, but I think it was like 12 gigs a month, which I use under three basically every month.
Yep.
It would be the cost of 6 months of Google Fi. Right. And I was like, but the thing is, like, I go to Europe like 4 weeks a year, and I know it's like, it's like 1/12 of the year. Like, I could just enable it when I'm in Europe. I could go through the little bit of complexity, save a little bit of money. I don't know.
Yeah, but there is value in just simplicity, just knowing this is what it is.
Not to blow this away, and sorry to interrupt, but right as you called me to start the show, I was about to publish a story that I think I'm going to call subscription. Let me just look at it. Fatigue, and I may change that name, but I think it's subscription fatigue. And something I've been thinking about, and it's related to this because it's like monthly stuff. Like, you pay all the stuff month, right? Lots of video subscription stories, music, content of all kinds, you know, whatever it is, and video in my case. And I was just thinking about this. It's like, you know, the most convenient thing is to not worry about how much you spend every month, you know?
Yeah.
Or like another, like I had said, like one strategy for video services is like, we'll pay for Netflix this month, binge watch as much stuff as you want, cancel it, and then move to Hulu next month and binge watch as much as they, you know, like do that kind of thing. You know, you can do that. And there's a complexity to it though. You have to manage that. In my case, when I looked at all the stuff I was subscribing to, I mean, it's like, it's an embarrassingly long list. Like, it's humiliating. And in some ways, airing it publicly as part of the therapy of
step 8 of 12,
taking that step. So, anyway, so we got off track there. Sorry, but Sprint, T-Mobile, something, I don't know.
Yeah, it's happening.
So what do you think about the notion that, you know, there'll always be people who say, like, you're eliminating choice. This means it's bad for the consumer in the long run. Prices are going to go up.
Yep.
But if you have two major players, which we do, which is AT&T and Verizon, and a lot of minor companies that kind of feed off of them, like those little fish that hang on sharks, whatever, like, you know, Mint Mobile being one of them, and there are many others. But we're going to have three, right? So we're going to have like three major players. I mean, doesn't that itself guarantee some form of competition? And
it does, unless there's collusion between numbers one and two, which, you know, that's a whole different Department of Justice sort of regulatory thing that we're not even going to go down. But, sure. My personal feeling here is that these guys are going to feel a lot of pressure once satellite internet becomes much more ubiquitous, which there's a lot of companies trying right now that are just going to be able to blanket the world effectively in internet from satellites. Now we don't know what the latency is, and obviously Gen 1, there's already HughesNet. I know there's some other ones out there, but you look at what like SpaceX is doing. There's a couple other besides them where they're just throwing tons of these things up there, and they're saying, hey, we're going to be able to just provide internet, just downlinks, whatever. And I think
fiber came in and kind of gave competition to cable, although that seems like it's kind of evened out. I mean, these kinds of things happen. Satellite TV never took away cable per se. I mean, we have choices, you know. Yep. I don't know.
But I think that's going to be the first kind of real threat to the Verizon AT&T duopoly.
Barring regulatory action, duopolies, it seems, especially in tech, is the natural order of things. Like, it seems like the market heads in that direction, you know?
Okay, I mean, it kind of does. I mean, you look at the smartphone OS, right? You have iOS and Android. You look at the large smartphone makers, it's primarily Apple and Samsung. Yes, there's a lot of other smaller players, but I mean, they sell the bulk of the phones for the most part, at least the high-end smartphones. So,
right.
You look at search engines, what, then we've got Google and then a very distant Bing. Social networks, you've kind of got Facebook, which Facebook just kind of owns that. There's Twitter, but Twitter is like...
Twitter's tiny.
Tiny compared to
what? The second biggest network, I bet, is probably... Not, well, actually, sorry, something in China, but barring that, it's probably Instagram, which is...
It probably by, is.
Which is
Snapchat's in there somewhere, but I think even Snapchat's more of like a Twitter than they are Facebook.
Right, right.
So yeah, maybe you're right. Duopoly is just sort of the natural order, barring... regulatory action.
But I mean, it might not be the best thing for consumers, but if there is good competition, at least you'll get that effect. I mean, lower prices, et cetera. I mean, it's, you know, one of the, in the Microsoft world, if you remember when Internet Explorer had no competition, they stopped trying. They literally
packed it up. IE6, was that one that packed it up? Yeah.
They just stopped working on it. And that's what happened. You know, you need something there to, and eventually, you know, Firefox first and then Chrome kind of came in and then Microsoft jumped back in the game, you know.
Yeah, I was actually watching, now that my TV is all done downstairs, I'm watching like the end of the, well, actually I watched the last episode of the Inside Bill's Brain on Netflix. Good series, if anybody hasn't watched it. And it actually is a reflection of him during the regulatory trials or the...
I almost see it as like a after the fact attempt at rehabilitating his reputation.
There's definitely, you can't sugarcoat it. There's definitely that. And I think he's obviously very well aware of that because, I mean, he's made a whole bunch of money and now he's trying to do good. But he's not completely candid about some of the things he said during it. And you could see there was a couple questions the interviewer asked, which they did a very good job. And you can see him instantly go back into that defense mode. Like there's one specific question
he almost about, like starts rocking and he's
he like, really does like, dude, and you're like and then he's like he asked the person to define a term and like you could see that old Bill Gates come out of him that fierce like tiger like I'm gonna pounce and defend this
there's
scenario.
Nothing more awful to watch than his testimony his deposition testimony is awful.
So and that's how it ends, so I don't want to ruin all of it if people listening haven't seen, but I highly watch it. It's really, really interesting to see like how he's spending his money and you know what he's doing with it, and not just sitting around and just buying houses and cars.
This is overly dramatic, but if the Nazis had won World War II and had cured cancer, would that have made it okay? I mean, anything this guy can do to help the world, is great, and I do appreciate the fact that he since retiring, especially since moving away from Microsoft. He certainly put his money. He's putting his money in the right place, and is trying to preach to other billionaires to do the right thing with their money as well.
Yeah.
And I, you know, you have to credit him for that, but you have to also recognize that he was a destroyer of markets when he was a viable CEO. I mean,
so there you go. It's a good series. There's the Windows 10 X Developer Days or Microsoft 365 Developer Days are happening today. So.
And pay attention to this because if you look at the schedule, the first half hour is the introduction, whatever, but the second half hour is Windows 10X. And they're going to finally, we're going to get access to the emulator that will give us all if you have Hyper-V on your computer, the ability to look at this thing and see what it looks like and see people like Raphael and the Walking Cat are going to be able to go into this thing and see how it's different from, you know, normal Windows 10, how it handles Win32 and UWP apps. This is a big day. So this is something to pay attention. We're going to write about it as news. And after it happens, I'm going to go back and see if I can pull something out from an editorial perspective. But you don't want to pay attention. Even if you're not a developer, this is a big one.
It's interesting timing, I will point out, because Build isn't all that far away.
Yeah.
So they're doing a developer day before Build, but, you know, do whatever.
I appreciate it. One of the complaints I had when they first announced these two devices, the Duo and the Neo last November, was that they didn't provide any information at all. Them doing this early, I'm not going to complain about that.
Sure.
There'll be plenty of stuff for Build. Look, this may be the indication you need to prove your theory. Everyone, not you, Brad. I mean, you, the listener. Your all of our collective theories that build will be mostly about Azure and cloud services and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they're going to do this thing separate. It's fine. It's good. I'd rather know.
Sure. I applaud them. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
So we will see how that all shakes out. And also announced, this one was somewhat interesting. IBM is putting 350,000 people on Slack, although I think they already had 100,000. I think this is them just rolling it out to the rest of the people, which is more surprising that IBM actually has 350,000 employees.
That's a big company. Well, so, one of the interesting memes that's going on right now is that IBM would like to be the next Microsoft.
Wow.
What an about face that is, right? Yeah. Because as long ago as probably the very early 90s, Microsoft very specifically didn't want to become the next IBM. Mm-hmm. And what they meant by that was that a big, ponderous company that was too slow moving to handle market changes. Now, you might make the argument, we just talked about the antitrust era, mm-hmm. that's kind of what happened at the time. But Microsoft today is obviously a very different company. And that IBM wants to emulate them is fascinating. They should buy Slack, by the way.
I could see them. I could see that being illogical.
Yeah, because if they don't, Google's going to buy them, or someone's going to buy Slack, Salesforce, whatever. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that's interesting too about IBM is people are like, well, what were they using before, right? And were they using Teams? No, they weren't using Teams. They don't use Microsoft stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, they didn't really have a lot of choices here. Let's put that out there first.
Well, they were probably using some ancient Lotus thing that they used to own. They probably were.
They probably were.
Look, anything that they upgraded to was going to be a big step up. So,
I mean, can you imagine where IBM would be today if they actually had the vision to develop Lotus Notes along the same line as Office?
They had an operating system, but they had an application suite. They had this kind of messaging platform before anyone had it.
Mm-hmm.
They had good developer tools. Well, they had developer tools. They good for the day. They could have been they could have been Microsoft before Microsoft was Microsoft. Yeah.
My first job out of college used Lotus Notes. It was fun.
Yeah, when I first got married, my wife wanted to get a computer, and we ended up buying this really because we didn't have any money. Obviously, IBM computers are expensive, mm-hmm. but they started selling like computers through Sears, like PS1, these kind of low end computers. But it was it was like an IBM computer, like it was a big deal. Like they had really nice keyboards, like they're really high quality. Yeah, they do. I don't know. I mean, there are a bunch of books written about how IBM fell apart, but mm-hmm. it's amazing. I mean, they were everything,
Yeah. And yet here we are. So.
Yeah. So, two things real quick. Mm-hmm. I went to Florida over the weekend. This is the first time I've gone to Florida, maybe in my entire life, where I actually liked being in Florida. Like the weather was perfect. We were on the ocean and it was,
The pictures looked great.
Yeah, it was kind of like Hawaii light,
mm-hmm.
It was a nice, the place was very, it was nice. Like it was, I did something I hadn't done since we were in Hawaii where, you kind of leave the, it's like a door going out to a balcony and leave it open and the wind is blowing off the ocean and it's like perfect. It's like perfect. It was just really, that part of it was, that was neat. And, mm-hmm. And then I spent time with my family, which wasn't as neat. It was actually nice to see those guys. But here's the other thing. The thing that I think is more relevant to people is one of the weird things, I think I've talked about this, is when I moved, I used to fly JetBlue all the time. I had mm-hmm. nonstops everywhere in the United States. I was in their frequent flyer program. I was often the very first person that didn't work for the airline to get on the plane. Every time I boarded, it was the greatest thing in the world. And then I moved, and now I have three different airports I can go to. Yeah, it's the worst. I have to fly like United or American or maybe Delta, and I'll be like in boarding group 2 or B or whatever they call it. It's really like the 17th boarding group, and it's like,
yep.
I go to my the seat I paid extra for that is in the exit row, and all of the bins are taken somehow, mm-hmm. even though no one's there yet. And it's like, it's just been the most frustrating thing in the world. And so, when we flew to Florida, this is one of the few times we flew from Newark, actually. So which is a little further away, but whatever. But they had direct flight to West Palm Beach, and it was JetBlue. Mm-hmm. And by the way, one of the great stories for me from JetBlue is JetBlue is the greatest airline in the world, by the way. I just want to be clear about that. It's the only good airline. It is literally the only good airline. And I had a string at one point. It was 18 or 19 flights in a row where I sat in the same exact seat on every single plane.
Yep.
And on the next one, it was like the return flight from a trip. That seat was taken. And so when I sat in the two seats over, and when that guy came, he said, "Oh, sorry, I have to get in." I said, "Is that your seat?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "I've been waiting to talk to you." and I told him the story, and "Do you want the seat?" I'm like, "Yeah, I want the seat." Anyway, I sat in that seat in both of these flights, and it's an exit row. No one takes the middle seat because you have to pay extra for it.
Yep.
So my wife was in the other one. Empty middle seat, extra room, open a laptop. The people in front of me cannot put their seat back. Plenty of room, you know? Mm-hmm. And I literally had this thought. This is something, I guess, depending on where you live, is a fact of life. I am so used to nonstops. Like, I will drive to JFK, which is a hellhole and is 2.5 to 3 hours away, just so I don't have to switch planes.
Yep.
But I thought to myself, you know what? I should go back to JetBlue. And I'll get back on Mosaic. I'll have early boarding all the time. I'll have my seat that I want. And I will have to get off the plane every time I travel anywhere. But maybe that will still be worth it. Like, maybe that's what's better. Like you said earlier, it was funny. We were talking about something else. You said sometimes convenience is worth it.
Mm-hmm.
You said, you know, maybe this is better, you know? I thought one airline would naturally come to the front and I would suddenly become like a United guy or a American guy, God help me, or whatever. And that has not happened. The truth is, when we travel for work, or if I travel wherever I travel, it's different airline, different airport. I have no status anywhere now. I'm just nobody, even though I actually kind of fly a lot.
Yeah, I don't really have that option. Well, although Cincinnati has quite a few directs. But the problem is that they have, other than New York, like in DC and maybe a couple of the others, it's like one time, like there's one direct flight to Seattle. There's one direct to San Fran. Yeah. There's one direct to Vegas. And if it doesn't fit your schedule or it's too much money, you're kind of screwed. So,
yeah, I still have a ton of points on this airline. We didn't pay for the, you know, we just used points. It was great. It was so happy, Brad. I almost cried. I was so happy. I was sitting in that seat and I was just like, I'm back. You know?
They're probably like, you're nervous flyer. You don't like, no, I'm just happy to be back on you guys.
Yeah, you're like, are you okay? So, no. I mean, the people were nice. It's just like the greatest airline. It is the greatest airline. JetBlue is the best. They're fantastic.
All right. Well, fair. I've legitimately never flown JetBlue.
Oh, it's the best, Brad. I'm serious.
They don't come through Cincinnati, so there's no...
Yeah. Out of Philadelphia, I have two direct flights. It's somewhere in... It might be Miami. And then the other one is Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. So those are my options if I want to...
Yeah, Puerto Rico's nice this time of the year, I think. Maybe.
Yeah, of course. But I'm not going to go to Puerto Rico a lot. I mean...
Right. Oh, yes. It's not a New York. It's not a Seattle or something. I mean, that's a vacation unless we can find some reason to do the podcast in Puerto Rico, which I would not complain about.
Newark probably has a mind. I mean, JFK would be the better one for lots of flights. I think JFK is one of their – I think JFK and Boston are the two big hubs, but I'm not driving to JFK to fly on JetBlue. But
I don't know if you saw this. This is random, and then we can end on this one because people may or may not care. Did you see – that there was a new record set for shortest flight by a non-supersonic jet from JFK to, I think, to London, Heathrow, right? Because of that storm that blew through. Like they were,
it actually pushed them so fast that
they were cruising at over, I think, ground speed. Now people are going to be like, "What?" But just like, hear me out. At over 800 miles an hour, which is ground speed, I believe, faster than supersonic. But because they were in a 200 mile an hour jet stream, they didn't actually go supersonic. They got from JFK to London in like under 5 hours, 90 minutes, I think, ahead of schedule. God,
that is amazing.
Can you imagine the flight attendants? They're like, you know, they have their routines. It's like, okay, we've got an hour to serve breakfast.
No one on that plane was complaining. Although, you know, what always happens is you land early. When you get in early and you think it's like the greatest thing in the world, and it's like, because we're here early, we don't have access to the gate because there's another plane sitting there. You know, like you get into that situation. But
were all those people who had family picking them up?
Yes. You can enjoy your 90 minutes in the airport. Although airports are not terrible when you don't have anywhere to go, by the way.
No, like, there's a lot worse.
Honestly, they're kind of cool places to hang out if you're not stressed about traveling.
All right. There we go, folks. We are back. It's Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow because tomorrow is Wednesday.
Is it? Yeah, I guess it is.
It is.